This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
How's your pandemic going? How's mine going? Mine is, we're still good. I was talking to people last night that were have been hunkered down for so long, it looked like they just couldn't wait to talk to somebody. Amazing. Just, it's amazing.
And you happened to be there.
I was there picking up a radon machine, and they had been, they hadn't left the house. They've been having really? Food delivered. They've been leaving the mail outside for several days.
Really?
And they're still living there and they're doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And they explained to me that they had been ill and that they had not from the pandemic, but that they were concerned about the potential for getting sick if they weren't smart about it. And, you know, some people have, I think that everybody is choosing to react to this in different ways. It's very interesting. A lot of people are wearing masks, which is great.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the bottom line is some people are I had a couple of weeks ago that were putting the cardboard boxes that they were going to be using for moving. They were putting them out on the driveway for a couple of days so that there was no chance that there would be any virus on the cardboard boxes. They had all their groceries in the garage. And they weren't bringing it into the house for a couple of days. They're wiping down everything. We were cleaning the fruit with a vinegar solution and stuff like that. But I'm not wiping down all the cans and the boxes and all the rest of that stuff. I just don't believe it's possible that it's going to travel that way. I think it's going to be somebody sneezing in your face or touching something, purposely touching something and spreading it around. But I could be very wrong. I mean, I could be exposing myself all the time. We've been doing a lot of inspections. And I know you're staying home and you know, avoiding the station. Tony and I are sitting here looking at each other and hoping that nothing bad is in here. He's been spraying everything like crazy. And I don't know. Everybody is taking different lengths of caution.
Yeah. I see people wearing gas masks.
I just wrap myself. I use saran wrap. I'm wrapped totally in saran wrap.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, well, I have been. You know, all the hazmat suits are gone. So
yeah,
got to do something.
It's a crazy time. Absolutely crazy time. And I'm really glad that Connecticut's numbers keep dropping.
Yeah, but that's great.
But I really feel bad for my parents because they're in Florida, and even if they wanted to come now, it would be a burden for them to come. My grandkids are here. They're in Cape Cod right now, but they're here, and I don't know if they'll be able to go home to Florida or whether it's safe.
Well, there may not be school either.
I'm not worried about school. It's just, you know, their mother is in Florida. Their father is here. And that puts a toll on both of them.
Sure.
Because she can't come here, and if we can't send the kids home, oh, my God, what my refrigerator is going to look like, what my food bill is going to look like.
I don't think there's restrictions to Florida if anybody wants to go there.
Well, but I think that everybody's got to consider the safety of all of that.
Well, right, that's
the issue. If they have to fly back or if they're going to drive back or what they're going to do. I don't think we've ever had to face so many hard decisions as we have to do right now.
Well, it's a life or death decision on a lot of these things. And we've never had to face that as far as I know. You know, you might not, I don't want to get the flu or poison ivy or whatever it might be. But this is a live or die kind of thing. That's very scary. It's not going to be. It's not fun. But, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing because you're saying it's not fun. It's an extreme kind of situation that I don't think that any of us have ever had to deal with, and I tend to put it in the back of my mind. It's not in the forefront of my mind. So when I get really uncomfortable with the mask, I'll pull it down over my mouth so that I can talk to my clients. And some realtor will say to me, put your mask back on. And I'm just not always thinking about it. And I'm not always believing that if you're asymptomatic that you could be spreading it. But, you have to have some faith in these doctors. I have more faith in Fauci than I do in anyone else right now. And
well, I saw him talking the other day. I don't know if it was in front of Congress or whoever it was, but I thought he'd be wearing a mask, and he wasn't wearing a mask. I'm saying, we can still hear you if you're wearing a mask, but he wasn't wearing one, which I found it to be rather odd.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're the doctor. We need you.
It's the leadership part of it. Just set the example.
Well,
yeah.
Pence was finally wearing a mask, but our wonderful president hasn't put a mask on yet that I've seen. And
no.
They just announced that his son's girlfriend has tested positive.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens in the White House now. I think there'd be a totally different attitude if he gets sick.
Totally. Oh, he'll never admit it.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
Oh, it's just a flu. I'm okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Let's have a party.
Let's rent an arena.
Yeah.
And have a rally.
Because Mount Rushmore wasn't enough.
Well, you heard that they're going to take down Mount Rushmore now.
Oh, really?
Did you hear that?
Spray them.
Yeah, they're gonna just blank them out.
Okay.
It's just gonna be a mountain now. I don't know how I feel about all this statue stuff. I really don't. Somebody wanted to take Columbus down and put up El Grasso, which is interesting. We'd have to ask some people with Italian heritage whether or not they would feel comfortable with that.
I'm Italian.
But I don't want to ask you.
Oh, thanks, Gene.
The thing is that I don't know. It's not. We would have to wipe out almost every statue that's out there because of slavery, because of whatever bad things any of these people ever did in their entire life.
Can I tell you a story to that point? You know who Harriet Beecher Stowe is, right?
Sure.
She wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Right.
Very big slavery.
Right.
My dorm at UConn was named after her.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading a book that she was a, what's the word, prolific cat killer. She killed, drowned thousands of cats in her life.
Yeah.
The rationale being, well, they won't have a good life, so I'm putting them out of their misery. Well, if you're PETA, if you're somebody else, well, let's take her name off there. Let's do it.
Yeah,
you have to be careful where you go with all this.
That's right. And that's my concern.
Yeah,
is
right.
I was never offended. Now, granted, I am a white male. And I was never offended by Confederate soldier statues. I just considered it part of the Civil War. And I have enjoyed watching things about the Civil War and about World War II and all the rest of it. But I never was bothered by the statues in the Grand Army Circle in Brooklyn or wherever. It just doesn't bother me. Now,
well, I understand.
I understand the other side of it.
Sure.
I understand the other side of it. I mean, if you want to put up a statue of Hitler, I would have a problem with it. Somebody drove by me this morning on a motorcycle wearing a German helmet, and I found that offensive. And I wanted to say to the guy, "Don't you realize that as you ride down the street, that a lot of people would find that helmet offensive?"
But he couldn't hear you.
No, he was driving way too fast. but maybe he wants it to be offensive. I don't know. But I understand the touch points. I'm just concerned about we constantly swing that pendulum way further than we need to. And so I think that we need to have a little bit of history. Maybe you put a plaque next to some of these statues and say, here are the positives of this person, here are the negatives of this. You know, explain it a little bit more. Well, if people would even read.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You go by these statues, I don't even know who they are. Because I don't stop to read the plaque. I just see a statue.
To a great extent, it's art. Somebody created that statue. All right? Now, are we going to take down Mount Rushmore? Or are we going to take down the Statue of Liberty?
I'm going to rename Yale University. Because Yale was, a slave owner.
I just think we have to be careful with this.
Well, where do you go on the spectrum?
Well, that's
Hitler. We can agree on Hitler, but as you move farther, you know, where do you go? That's the hard part. And then I'm always dubious of what's
next.
Well,
next?
Well, yeah, it's going to be what's next. But then, okay, so we do this. All right, everybody.
So we put up
happy.
A statue of Elon Musk, and then 10 years from now, when 25 people have been killed in autonomous cars.
Well, he's already. I wouldn't put up anything.
You
for
wouldn't
him.
Put it.
He's kind of hideous.
But,
you know, that's. I know you like him. I'm not.
I do like him.
I'm not a big fan.
I think
I'm volunteering.
I think he's the Edison of the age. I do.
Yes, it's true. He is.
Just don't say anything about him. He'll call you a pedophile. That's the only thing.
He'll call me a pedophile?
Call anybody. Don't you remember the story about the soccer kids in Thailand? And he grandstanded that whole... Remember they were stuck in the cave that was flooded?
Yeah.
And he grandstanded the whole thing, wanted to come up with his technology, and somebody told him, please get away. He gets on Twitter and calls the guy a pedophile. Somebody's never even known.
I don't know.
I mean, he's a loose cannon.
I can't comment on that.
I'm not going to... His business and, you know... I think somebody said once he should stick with inventions, not business. I think is kind
maybe,
of the analysis
maybe.
Of it. But
I think that it's a perfect example of how you can't gauge people by some of the little things or some of the things that they do. You can gauge them by their whole life, maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be evaluated by each little thing that I've done over my life. I'd like to think that
none of us should be
that people will feel that I've done good things, but I'm sure I've done a couple of bad things every once in a while, and I wouldn't want to be just judged by that.
Yeah,
you know that I haven't delivered the tape measure yet that I owe Nancy. You know? It's just
it. We're taking your name off the building.
I'm telling you, whatever it is, if I've annoyed my wife enough, are they going to knock my statue down?
Just wait till you're dead.
It's going to be the tag sale, Steve.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'm advertising that you can come meet us because we're going to be live at the tag sale on the 11th and the 12th. Not Friday, but just Saturday and Sunday. Gene will be there on Saturday. I don't know if he'll want to be there with me on Sunday, but we'll be there live at the end of Marion Street, Marian. It's a dead end. You'll find us. But at the end of Marion Street in Stamford, in the Springdale section of Stamford, I'm going to be trying to rid myself of a lot of toys and dolls and assorted goodies.
Assorted goodies?
Assorted goodies. I don't have a lot of assorted
Sorted
goodies.
Sorted or
sworded? Sworded.
Sword, as in sword. Swords. There could be sorted. Yeah.
Could be sorted. Or assorted.
Assorted. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a garage full of stuff on tables. I want to make it someone else's stuff.
Yeah.
And my grandkids are looking through their toys today to make some decisions about what they want to get rid of. Oh. So it could be very nice to get rid of some of this stuff. And I have some lawn stuff, and it's quite an assortment.
Good stuff, though.
Are you having tools up there?
Not a lot of tools, but I do have something from our childhood, a lot of things from our childhood. I have two erector sets.
Oh, the erector sets.
Oh, really? Wow.
Metal erector sets.
What kind of shape are they?
Wow.
They're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, ours are
pretty
destroyed.
Good shape. And I have lots of collectible decanters. I have lots of fire engines, kids' toys. I have Hess trucks. Galore.
I was just going to ask if those are going on the block.
Yes. Hess trucks galore. Some of them inexpensive, some of them a little bit more expensive, but fair to wonderful prices for everything. And I have a lot of the gas station collectibles. I have the big arcade game is for sale. I have pads for Dance Dance Revolution. I have we sold the gas pump, so that's gone. But the collection is a very interesting, eclectic collection. And if somebody is looking for toys for Christmas and stuff like that, or Hanukkah, this is a wonderful time because you'll get
it's
them.
Also
for, you'll get them for a song, although I don't want anybody singing.
Well, you know what you should do also?
What's
remind
that?
People that in Christmas you're going to have those things at work, you know, where you can't see what the actual item is, and you kind of trade them. What was it, a Santa? What do they call that?
It's, well, we talked about that. I haven't done that, but we'll talk about that. I have to get some bags to put stuff in that you can't see through if we're going to do that.
And the thing we talked about, too, which was, you know, people buying things online in a box. They don't know what's in it, and they're paying, you know, $50 and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
To get the box.
I'm also going to, and remind me if I forget, but I'm going to have a donation box for the Belltown Fire Department.
So good idea.
So if people want to make a donation to the fire department, they can throw a check in a bottle, and we'll get that over to the fund drive chairman. Truth is that Tony is telling me that we need to take a break, so we're going to take a break, and you're listening to Around the House. If you want to join us on Facebook, we're on Stephen, Stephen Gladstone, on my Facebook page, or if you want to call us, it's 203-661-5051. If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy services the Greenwich area and about 50-mile square radius around Greenwich. They also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. All right, we're back. And Gene, have you done anything exciting this week, or are you just staying in the apartment?
Mostly I'm staying in the condo here. My car is being fixed. I went over to see it. It has no nose at the moment because I had to, you know, take the grill off and go dig in there and get into it. Well, I was told that one of the headlights that was broken is $1,100.
It's nice.
It had the special gas in it, and that's it ignited, so it didn't have any actual, like a light bulb or anything in it. And it wasn't an LED. It was kind of like in between. And my daughter came home with a Roku. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Streaming thing?
Right.
Yeah. We had that for a while.
I felt like such an idiot because she's explaining it to me and going, so could we record things? And she looked at me like I'm out of my mind because it's streaming. I'm going, oh, that's right, it's streaming. You can do it whenever you want. And it was just like I felt so freaking old
and stupid. It's a different world.
But there are channels available that you can watch on Roku.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there are. Yeah. But, you know, what she was talking about, you know, like all these Netflix things and blah, 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 which I love, but I'm not used to this kind of a thing where you don't push a button or whatever, you know. I felt so stupid.
You know, some of the controls you can just speak it. You know, my Netflix controller, or my Samsung TV controller, I just push a button and I can say turn to channel 3. You know, it's remarkable.
Right.
The only thing that doesn't work well with speaking is my GPS in my Toyota. It does not understand a word I say. If I don't type it in on the keyboard, I can't believe how many times I'll have to say the same street address before I'll get it to find it.
Really?
Yeah, I think that that someone in Japan decided that he was going to mess with us, and they put these horrible GPS voice readers in there. It's just terrible. I found it was true with Sandy's Camry at first, but the Highlander, I cannot. It just doesn't want to understand me. I'll say Main Street, and it'll say what Fifth Street in Portland, Maine. Do you want? And I'll say no. You know, it's just crazy.
And that's the one that came with the car, right?
Came with the car, the built-in one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I use Waze a lot. Waze understands me perfectly.
I have a hard time with Waze.
Do you? I like Waze. But the Highlander, unless I type it in, it's just nothing but frustrating. Hmm. And she'll say, say it again? Well, I use them both. But, the problem with Waze is it wipes out my phone battery. Because I'll forget to turn it off. It'll be on for an hour.
Don't you plug it in?
Yeah.
Sometimes I plug it in. Yeah. But I like Waze because Waze will say things like "there's police action up ahead" or "there's debris
accident.
In the road" or "an accident on the road," and it seems to be a lot more timely and functioning in a way that's more useful for me, where the car doesn't do it nearly as well.
Hmm. And that's
people
are calling in. Yeah, people are calling in saying, "Oh, there's an accident, 2 miles ahead or whatever."
So. Right. Yeah. So Waze works nicely because it's a little bit more interactive. But talking about Roku and Hulu and so many of the different pieces of equipment and different channels that are available now, I have to sneeze.
I'll get the spray.
Come on,
Ninja.
Now the whole studio's got to be fumigated. The reality is, I watched Hamilton last night with Sandy and Madison. We were sitting in the living room and we put on Disney Plus.
And we
watched the film recording of the original cast doing Hamilton. And I got to tell you, I was very moved when I saw it on Broadway. But I was moved again last night. It is just a fabulous play.
How'd you get Disney Plus? To what system do you get Disney Plus?
Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
Apple TV. They own Apple TV.
I see.
I believe, or Apple
TV. I know they're advertising it on Channel 7 because that's all Disney.
Yeah. And it's also on, they're playing the soundtrack, I think, tonight or something on Sirius FM or FX or whatever they're called, Sirius Satellite Radio.
Satellite Radio,
they're
yes.
playing it. It's become available, so more and more outlets are playing it.
It's going to be like, I remember when The Sound of Music came to TV for the first time, 10 years after the movie came out, it was like, oh my God,
yeah.
we get to see this.
Yeah.
And
well,
this is the same thing here.
To see Lin-Manuel Miranda. To see him do the part rather than the person that I saw, although the person I saw did a great job, but to watch the original cast is always the cast you want to see.
Not to stand
in. The excitement was there.
Anybody know the name of the guy who filled in, who not filled in, but took over after he left?
I'm not sure.
Can win a tape measure if you know. Do you know that, Gene?
What's that?
Do you know the answer?
If I get a tape measure, really?
Yeah.
I can win one?
Yeah, sure. I have this 3-inch long one.
Ooh. Is it green? Because I already have a green one.
Yeah, they're all green.
Oh, well.
It's environmentally friendly.
It's a great trivia question.
The woman the other day wanted to measure the depth of the pool with the tape measure, and I said, you're going to make it rusty. It's just a matter of time before it gets destroyed. But she wanted to know how deep the pool was.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Tell her 8 feet.
She goes, jump in, stand up. If it's over your head, then it's higher than it's 5.5 feet or 6 feet. We'll stay there and then just wait. And
you know what I'm truly amazed at? You know, I do a lot of pool inspections. And I'm probably the only home inspector who's got a pool builder's license. And that's becoming very difficult to have. But the pool builders keep putting more and more requirements on them so that they've got a monopoly on pool building now. But I do a lot of pool inspections. And one of the things, yesterday's pool still had a diving board.
Wow.
And I'm always recommending get rid of that diving board before your kids see it. Because people do stupid things off of diving boards.
Oh, sure.
Most people don't know how to dive. But those that do, they usually dive after a couple of cans of beer. And one of the things that's always amazing to me is exactly what this woman was trying to determine, that people do not put depth markers around the pool. And I am always recommending that when I do a pool inspection, that they go to the pool store and buy the little ceramic tiles that can be glued down around the edge of the pool that say 6 foot, 5 foot, 4 foot, don't dive here, you know.
Bottomless. That scares people.
Bottomless?
You put bottomless there, and you know people will shy away from that.
Okay. Dive forever. Submarine.
Yep.
Bring your submarine. But, you know, to glue these down on the average pool would probably take about 20 minutes and make it so much safer. And I say to people, you probably, I don't know you well, but you probably have a stupid friend, right? Everyone's got a stupid friend who will have two cans of beer and jump in the shallow part and break their nose. Now they got blood all over the pool. You got to take them to the hospital.
At the very least.
At the very least. Well, yeah. Giving themselves a concussion. Paralyzed, you know, whatever. So I would never again would I ever have a slide or a diving board on a pool.
One of my brothers had a slide, the other had a diving board.
Yeah, no, I know. And there's a lot of people, if you absolutely have to have something, put a rock at the end. Let them jump off the rock.
Can you even get a diving board anymore?
Oh, sure, you can get anything.
Really?
You can get anything. Go on Amazon. Get it.
Well, I figure that's the idiot's part of it, I guess. There's always well, that's the same person who, you know, crushes a beer can against their forehead, you know.
Wait a minute. I do that all the time. I do that with the bottles.
I was trying not to say your name, Steve.
Chew on the end of the bottle.
Yeah.
Steve chews off
I
the end of the
bottle. Bite those caps off.
That's it.
There's another moment of brilliance. People who say, watch this, and they break the cap off with their teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a dentist's delight.
And they need cap on
the
teeth.
Oh, my God. I can't even watch people do that. Mm-hmm. I can't even. And people who open them on the side of the desk.
Oh, yeah. Done that before, yeah.
Yeah, to eat the glass.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to impress. You know, you're not going to get into college somewhere because you can, you know, crush a beer can.
Those people don't go to college.
But you'll get into a fraternity, though.
No, the fraternity, they drink
straight from the keg.
Right from the keg. They put the hose right up.
They'll hang you upside down and give you a drink,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it.
I've always been a big fan of those caps that have the tubes going into the beer can so you can suck them out of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the hat. Yeah.
There's a lot of stupidity around, you know.
Future leaders of America.
That's it, you know.
And then you get pulled over by a cop. Honestly, sir, I wasn't drinking, you know. Just have my hat and
it's
the two
soda.
Tubes going into
it's
my mouth.
I didn't inhale.
Yeah.
I understand. If you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. 203-661-5051. Or you can go on Facebook and you can see us. Joe Raynone said, Happy 4th of July.
All right.
Do you believe we're here and sitting here live on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Just a little testimonial kind of. Go easy with the fireworks. There was really a bad accident in Stamford this week.
Hmm.
Really bad. I mean, the police had to use two tourniquets to stop the flow of blood. Guy lost fingers and stuff. It was really bad.
Oh, no, from fireworks.
From fireworks, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Exploded in his hands, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, lots and lots of people get burned every single year. Lots of people don't, you know, no one talks about it. I am not a big fan of fireworks. I am really not. And as a former deputy fire marshal and as a fireman who has been in the Belltown department for more than 38 years, I really urge people, be careful. Don't be handing those sparklers to three-year-olds because they all get burned. Those things are really hot. You know, why they're even legal, I don't even know. You know, and we got away from it for a number of years, and now we're back into it again.
Well, I think sparklers were always legal, right? Because they don't go boom, they go fizzle.
In theory,
right?
You know, stuff that can be set off on the ground are different from things that are aerials. But people buy illegal stuff all the time. I mean, people go down south and they buy stuff that's legal in other states and they bring it back up here. And I'm telling you, every night, my dog, my poor animals are suffering so much. My Cairo just sits and shakes. We have to medicate him. And to try and get medicine in that dog is almost impossible. I got to wrap things in so much peanut butter that, you know, and he knows I'm shoving stuff down his throat that he doesn't want. I got to calm him down. He's shaking all the time. And he doesn't want to go outside and pee. Because of the thing is that every evening when he needs to go out, somebody is setting off monster bombs in places. And the noise level is crazy. So, I don't know. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the 4th of July.
There have been a number of people here where I am who for the last several days have been igniting fireworks.
It's not the 4th of July anymore. It's almost, it's weeks leading up to
it. It's been going on for weeks.
Yeah.
And they don't realize how many animals are upset by this. And it's really unfair to all these animals.
I agree.
And then the safety aspect of it, you know, people are setting fire to their houses, they're setting fire to the lawn, they're setting fire to all kinds of stuff, and the danger of it, you know, we just don't think about it, and the kids are all sitting on the curb watching these little presentations, and they go running up to the duds, and then the duds go off.
Right.
And I don't know, the whole thing is crazy.
Well, first of all, there's the word fire right there in the name of the thing you're doing.
Yeah.
That should scare you right there. Fire works. And yes, it does work. And I know that a lot of places, you know, people go to see fireworks and they bring their own fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised cars don't catch fire. I'm surprised more people don't get hurt from that because it's the 4th of July, you know?
I find bottle rockets in my yard.
Right.
I find all kinds of debris in the street. You know, it's just, I don't know. I can't wait for it to be over. I really can't. And speaking of being over, we have to take a break. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class So 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any, really any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824.
Annoying Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Still makes me laugh.
Makes me laugh.
Oh, man.
It was nice that he was willing to do that.
No, he does all, you know, he signs autographs. He does all that stuff. He's great at that. He's not one of those stupid celebrities that said, no, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
He's always talking to people.
That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I watched his show the other day for the first time.
Which show?
His garage show.
Garage, yeah.
He had, like, Tim Allen on, and they were driving around a figure eight in a car.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like two cars tied to each other with chains, right? One dragging the other. And the car in front was the speed, and I guess the car behind was turning or braking or something, and they were racing against these two other guys around a figure eight. It was, or around a track.
Really,
it was kind of interesting.
Odd.
It was odd. But it's the bad.
Well, Tim Allen's got a nice selection of cars too. Not as big as Jay's, but he's got a nice collection.
Yeah. It was,
yeah.
The banter was of course, the part that.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
They're both
very
funny.
Yeah,
they are.
But they've both been very successful. You know, Tim Allen's had several shows, one after another, that have been successful.
Jay's on his latest show now.
Yeah, that's right. He plays a mechanic on there.
Joe, yeah.
And, you know, Tim Allen did all the, Santa Claus films.
Right.
They were good.
Which were funny.
They were good.
Yeah, he's been very successful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they can get the tools.
And one of my favorite movies, which I can't think of the name of now, when they were in outer space and the whole thing. What was that called? I forgot.
Spaceballs?
No, it wasn't Spaceball. It was, oh, God.
Wasn't about what Tommy Lee Jones, the old guy's going on to space?
No. It was about, Tim Allen and a bunch of people were actors on a TV show like Star Trek. And some aliens came down thinking they were really, you know, like Tim Allen and his crew were really the superheroes, and they came to them to help Galaxy Quest. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Funny movie. Really funny movie.
Really.
And if you get to see it, it's Sigourney Weaver and Alan, what's the name? He passed away.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, yeah, and a bunch of people, and it was a very funny movie.
I'm going to go to Blockbuster and rent that tonight.
You're going to go to Blockbuster?
I'm going to Blockbuster tonight to rent it.
I have to go to Alaska.
Good.
I think that's the only one.
There's one in upstate New York, I think.
What was the name of the... Well, there's still a Blockbuster sign in Stamford.
Is there?
It's still there.
That's cool.
You think it's cool?
There was a place in Danbury, the Cine Theater, or the Cinema Theater.
Yeah.
And the sign was there for years.
Yeah.
After the place was gone, and it was just a great thing.
Vulcan Metal, which is right across the street from the school, they still have a Blockbuster sign there. So if somebody really wants to buy a sign, it's there.
Yeah.
But there's actually a standing, still hooked up sign on the Post Road in Stamford, going north on the Post Road, almost at Darien.
Mm-hmm.
That still says Blockbuster.
Blockbuster,
on it.
Yeah. So there's some, still some around. I should be able to get it. Was it Galaxy Quest? Some, I should be able to get it. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure you. I'm sure you can get it.
Get a VCR machine too.
Yeah, you need a VCR.
Yeah.
The you know, it's funny how technology just disappears, and when you know, even now you say to a 13-year-old BlackBerry, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. But people love their BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm. I knew a guy in the early 90s who was a manager of a Blockbuster, and he told me, he said that...
my daughter worked at
What was his name? Wayne Huizenga.
Okay.
Owned Blockbuster, he owned the Miami Marlins.
Okay.
Even then, he said, it's going to be gone within a couple of years.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Technology, yeah. I mean, to a great extent, I'm surprised we still have... outrageous cable bills,
mm-hmm.
because the kids are not using cable. Mm. The kids are not subscribing to cable. They're buying those Roku boxes, or they're
They're great.
Well, be careful. They're great. Yeah. You know, a lot of this stuff is bypassing the cable. It may be using the Wi-Fi network, but it's bypassing the cable. So they're going to ultimately lose those monthly fees. That's why they've...
That's right.
You know, it's just all of the stuff with electronics, if you think back about all the different things that we've bought over the years, from movie cameras to VCRs to CDs to DVDs to mini discs to, you know, the technology... has been, you know, every time you buy a memory card now to go in your computer or download something, it's going onto a different type of media that there's a tremendous business right now of transferring things.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what to transfer. I told you months ago I repaired a slide projector and I looked at my slides and it was a lot of fun to look at them, but... I'll probably never look at them again.
Can you fix my VCR?
I could probably fix anything.
All right.
Yeah.
Although, because I'm taping Golden Girls tonight. So
are you really?
I'm taping that. Yeah. And then I'll watch Galaxy Quest on the other VCR.
Well, you know, you look at a computer, and if you look at up in the top part of the computer where you want to save, let's say, a document.
Yeah.
The icon they have there is a floppy disk.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody knows what that is anymore.
Well, they know what that symbol is, but they don't know what...
They know what the symbol is, but they don't know what it's a floppy disk. They just think... They don't even think about it. You just click that if you want to save something.
Well, we could say the same about a yield sign. Nobody seems to know what that is.
Or even a stop sign, yeah. Or a speed limit sign.
Yeah, it's a different world, you know. It's hard for those of us that have been around for a while to come to terms with how fast things change. But I was always amazed that my father-in-law went through 100 years of change.
Well, that's... And everybody.
And, you know, granted, you know, what did he remember from when he was five? But after five, look at all the changes that took place in the last 100 years. Take any industry. Whoever talked about a 3D printer, whoever talked about, you know, the changes alone in transportation.
Well, I think about my nephew. One of my nephews was born in 1998, and God willing, he'll live to 2100, right? And think about in just 22 years the changes that he's seen and will see over the next 80 years, hopefully.
It's, well, you know, you look at what really happened in the 1800s, people went from no electricity to having electricity. I mean, those were the major jumps, and a lot of things have just been, built on all of that. I mean, they had major things. You know, I used to think, my grandfather saw rockets, saw men land on the moon. You know, it's crazy.
I mean, yeah, it used to take months to get from Europe to the America.
Yeah.
You know,
now it just takes months to get from Stanford to Norwalk. On the highway.
I think it's longer
than
that.
You're such a wet blanket.
Crowded.
You just can destroy the whole
moment. You can't find wet blankets anymore. You know? That's another problem.
What was your father-in-law born in a hospital?
I would think he was, okay. Yeah. But lots of people weren't.
Yeah.
Lots of people weren't. And medicine, look at how medicine has changed. The life expectancy of most people. I mean, everybody's fearing the pandemic right now, but most people have an expectation that they're going to make it at least to 90, right?
Yeah, that's not unusual, sure.
It's not unusual anymore. And the fact that my father-in-law hit 100, we thought was amazing. But my expectation, if I stay healthy, is I don't see why that's going to be a problem. I think that my body may not be happy about it.
Yeah.
But I think that the kids are living much healthier lives because of medication. And well, I don't know. I mean, they're still
there's
eating
obesity,
crap. They're
obesity.
Still eating crap.
There's mixed messages on that.
Yeah,
because there's,
yeah. Well, I believe in the next bunch of years, we're going to come to terms with a lot of that stuff.
Just through medicine or through
or
change
diet,
of lifestyle. Diet, hopefully.
Change of how things are made.
Yeah.
You know, we look at GMO changed stuff, and we look at organic stuff, and we look at what our diet is, and more parents are more concerned about obesity and stuff. I think that it's going to create change. It may be slow change, or maybe we'll just, you know, phase humankind out. I don't know.
We'll just kill each other off.
We're pretty good at killing each other off. You know.
Well, you know, I hear that you always hear about these doctors who say, "Oh, you'll be able to live to 120 or 200." I don't want to live that long.
Well, you say that now, but if you are healthy, if you've got your mind, you'll say,
right
"What the heck?"
Right,
I'll be interested to see what's going on. It's people who are in pain, people who are suffering, where every breath is a burden. That's a whole different thing. But if you're
right.
healthy, if you're able to take those 14 pills each day and you feel healthy, mm-hmm. it's okay. You know, even the stuff that I had to go through with my heart, I've never felt better.
There's the thought in the medical field, though, that that right now the people that live to be 100 or so, that take care of themselves. But when you get past 110, they're called super centenarians.
Yeah.
That's an anomaly. Yeah. That's just an anomaly. And the percentage of people that have lived to 110 and beyond, or the numbers, pretty much hasn't changed over the years. Mm. So they're thinking, at least for now, that the upper limits is really 110 for lifestyle, maybe some genetics.
Sure.
And anything after that is sort of weird or whatever.
Yeah, well, they're starting to look at, what are those people eating? What are those people doing as far as exercise? What, you know, my father is active. And because of his being active, he feels that that is adding longevity to him.
Oh, sure.
Now he's in his 90s.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, it's a wonderful thing to have your parents still be alive in their 90s. It's mm-hmm. wonderful.
And
for them, it's wonderful. But my father-in-law at 100, he was pretty much ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
He had decided that it was probably time. He was tired.
It says a lot for your hope for your kids, though, that their grandfather lived to be 100 and their other grandparents are in their 90s, you know. That's,
if the genes are good, yeah. But if the genes,
then you got a good chance of doing it.
Yeah, well,
you know, carry yourself.
Yeah, except that, you know, that guy on the motorcycle cutting in between people do a lot of stupid things, and that's going to cut into their longevity potential. I mean, the fact that you've got the potential doesn't mean that you aren't going to walk off a deck somewhere and break your neck. So people still have to be careful, and they have to look at exercise and diet and all the rest of that. Otherwise, they might not make it.
You got a break? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, what I'm thinking is I better talk about the tag sale if I want people to come to it.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Also, I want to talk about the school for a couple of minutes. And the school has been closed because of the pandemic and because I have not felt that the school is essential. But there are a bunch of people that are hovering that want to go back to school, and we're probably going to be opening the school up. I keep saying July, but it's July already. It's probably going to be early August that we're going to open the school up again so that people can get their license and home inspection. But if you're interested in going to school for home inspection, or if you're interested in finding out more, you certainly can call me during the week at 203-327-6824, and we can certainly discuss that. I would urge people to be very careful if they decide that they want to become a home inspector, men and women, children of all ages. Be careful with these online courses. They're quick, down and dirty courses, and half the time you don't learn very much. And the state of Connecticut has a requirement of 40 hours. We do 90 hours and then some. And,
wow.
And people still fail the state of Connecticut test because they don't know enough. You've got to study. There's a lot to read. There's a lot to learn. And it's a very important business because most of the people that we're inspecting houses for don't have a clue about how to run their houses, how to take care of their houses. So if you're going to be a home inspector, you really have to fill your head with a lot of knowledge. I think it's a big responsibility. And I train my guys very well. But the training is only partially the going to school part. It's the internship and it's on the job training. There's a lot to it. And a lot of people will call me up and say, I've just gone through a week long or a 5-day class. I've been in the stock market for years and now I've gone through a 5-day class. I'm ready to get my license. And it ain't happening. Yeah. It isn't happening. It's not happening with me. I have a responsibility, I believe. And you should see the journal logs that my guys have to fill out before they can get their license. And they have to pass the National Home Inspector's exam. It's a bigger deal. But if it interests you and you want to learn more, you're certainly welcome to call me during the week and find out a little bit more information. And we will be starting classes again soon. But the commercial says I'm running every week to the classes. We haven't had classes in a couple of months now, much to my annoyance, but I'm trying to be safe with this.
Are you in touch with the folks?
Occasionally. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, we've got a website that's up, and it says right now that all the classes have been postponed. But
is part of the class driving fast? Because
no, it's not driving
I got past
fast.
A stone hollow flying past me. I think it was you that time, and then
another
your
guy
pillar to post. They went flying past me the other day.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're all trying to make it to the inspection on time. Yeah.
That's because you, Tony. That's because you were going the wrong way.
Oh,
or
I
he
see.
Was going too slow.
I was going too slow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to go the speed
limit. All right, that's so I got slow. 2 minutes to talk about the tag sale.
30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Then the music starts.
That's not fair.
Go.
Well, we can always dim the music.
That's true.
Next week, on Saturday and Sunday, Gene and I are going to do the radio show from my house.
That's right.
At the end of Marion Street. Don't come to my front door, but come to my side door, which is Marion Street in Springdale. It's the very bottom of the dead end. So you don't even need to know the number of Marion Street. You just need to come to the dead end where my garages are. And the garage doors will be open at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to do a live remote right from the garage tag sale. And if you're interested in toys and collectibles and all kinds of interesting stuff, or if you just want to meet Gene and I, come to...
And who doesn't?
And who doesn't? From 8 to 4, I think. 8 to 4, I think we put on the signs. And
we put on Facebook 5.
Did
five.
I? Yeah. I may change that.
8 to 5 live on the
when
radio?
When everything's gone. When everything's gone.
Okay. That's open-ended.
Yeah. But if you want to come meet us, come meet us. If you want to buy some toys for the kids for the holidays, that'll be a great time to get a hold of some stuff. And most of this stuff is timeless. So if you buy it, you'll be able to put it away. And they're brand-new boxes for most of them. So you can just hand it to your kid like it's a brand-new toy.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
At Mount Rushmore, fourth at the White House. I'm Christopher Cruz. President Trump says people protesting police brutality and racial injustice are, quote, waging a merciless campaign to wipe out our history. He spoke last night at Mount Rushmore to about 7,500 people, most of whom weren't wearing masks or maintaining social distancing.
I am here as your president to proclaim before the country and before the world, this monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed.
The president will speak at the White House tonight during a Salute to America 4th of July celebration. Mr. Trump today signed an extension of the Paycheck Protection Program. It expired at the end of June, now expires August 8th. A top fundraising official for the Trump reelection campaign, who's also the girlfriend of the president's eldest son, has tested positive for COVID-19. Much of the U.S. will feel sizzling summer heat this holiday weekend, says meteorologist Allison Chinchar.
The eastern half of the country, especially the southeast, the main focus here is going to be some scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially cities like Atlanta, even Little Rock and Jackson, Mississippi. But heat is going to be the focus across states like Texas. Again, Dallas looking at a high temperature of 98, but that feels like temperature is certainly going to be into the triple digits. But a city like Rapid City, for example, that's where you're going to have the potential for some of those strong to severe thunderstorms.
We're heading into this holiday weekend with the shadow of the coronavirus pandemic looming over us. Many beaches are closed, but beaches like Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, are not. However, a mandatory mask order is in effect there. An 8-year-old boy has been killed in a shooting at a shopping mall in Hoover, Alabama. Three others were injured in the shooting yesterday afternoon at the River Chase Galleria. Motive not yet revealed. No suspects. I'm Christopher Cruz.
We have all heard of Casper, you know, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper transforms the way we sleep one snooze at a time. And with their 4th of July sale, you can save on the coolest mattress or summer sleep right now featuring AirScape technology. The original mattress provides the support and cooling that you need with the comfort you love. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Now with AirScape technology, air moves through and heat stays out so you can sleep cool all night long. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And as always, free shipping and free returns. Get 15% off your order when you purchase an original Nova or Wave mattress and enjoy 10% off everything else now through July 6th. Use the code KEEPCOOL15. Offer expires 7/6/20 at 11:59 Pacific Time. Excludes bundles, the Element mattress, and sale items. Limit one offer per customer and order. Please see Casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions.
Movie theaters nationwide are getting ready for a late July reopening with new safety measures in effect, but there's an alternative for folks who would rather not be indoors.
Moviegoers will be able to relive the drive-in experience as Walmart turns 160 of its parking lots into drive-in movie theaters to offer contactless film premieres. The retailer is partnering with the Robert De Niro-backed Tribeca Enterprises to program the movie starting in August and running through October. During that time, there will be a combined 320 showings, along with special appearances from filmmakers and celebrities, and concessions will be delivered to customer vehicles. Locations in a movie lineup will be announced on a new Walmart drive-in website. Barbara Cusack.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has told local elected officials their cities and towns will lose state funding if they don't enforce state health regulations. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Becoming mostly sunny for your 4th of July today. Pleasant temperatures, 78 to 83. Partly cloudy skies tonight, low 65 to 70. Mostly sunny again for tomorrow. Highs right around 85. Mostly sunny on Monday. Scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms, 80 to 85. Mostly sunny, warm and more humid on Tuesday with an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. Highs in the middle 80s. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
So do you have naked windows?
Who doesn't? You know, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, I think.
Are you on display to your neighbors?
I hope so.
When you're doing personal things, are you waving to those on the street?
Well, I don't want to get into that.
Well, if you are, you really need to call Budget Blinds of Darien, Greenwich, New Canaan, Rowayton, Stamford, Norwalk, Wilton, and God knows how many other towns. Andrew Bogdan keeps buying up these franchises, and soon he's going to be the only Budget Blinds in the country. But they come to your house with their display van with all the samples in it and the color chips and all the rest of it, and he'll come inside and you discuss what you want to cover your windows with, and he'll make suggestions. And they have a full line of automated shades and plantation blinds and draperies and all kinds of stuff. Things with strings, things without strings. So you could get blinds with no strings attached. free consultation, professional measuring, the best of the best vendors, Lutron automatic shades, Hunter Douglas shades, mini blinds if you want, and a no question asked first five-year warranty. No questions asked. That means, Andrew, I want it replaced. Okay.
Even if you answer the question, they won't ask you a question.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Style and service for every budget. So you can buy the really expensive stuff, or you could buy the less expensive stuff, but it's all going to be beautiful. It's all going to be installed properly. They're going to measure so that it really fits. And a lot of us don't know whether to put things inside the window well or over the window. And they'll advise you. Professionals. It's wonderful. And you only have to call 203-580-3362. 203-580-3362. Budget Blinds. Give them a call. Tell them you heard it on Around the House. Let them know his advertising's working.
You won't be sorry, that's for sure.
He, you know, Andrew told me a couple of weeks ago that he's never been busier. So a lot of people are looking at their, I'm doing the same thing. I'm looking at my house and I'm thinking, what do I need? What's got to get fixed? What can I do on those rare moments that I'm home? And people that are hunkering down, that are staying in their house, they're looking at, well, maybe we should paint the bedroom. Maybe we should call Jonathan. Maybe we should put up new blinds. Maybe we should renovate the bathroom. Maybe, you know. And I think that that's a good thing to do. Get a project and get going on it. It's not a bad idea.
I have a question for you.
I'm sorry. We don't take questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong show.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Call the garden show.
No questions asked.
No questions. That's right. No questions asked.
Yes.
So I'll just sit here silently.
Thank you.
The reason I've got on my microwave, the door on my microwave squeaks. I've never seen that before.
Or heard it.
The door coming into my house squeaks, and that's how the dogs know to start barking.
Well, there you go.
And I was wondering if I take a little bit of spray lubricant, Gene, lubricant, and see whether or not the microwave door stops squeaking.
Now, I do have that, but I'm just saying, because you're dealing with a microwave and heat.
I don't think it's going to matter.
All right.
So try, I can just try a little bit. No.
You see, that's what I'm talking about.
Don't
see,
you don't just use WD-40 anything. Is good for dirtier things. Okay? A bicycle.
My shoes.
A chain. Something that is not, that you don't really care about, that there's going to be some gray grit and some oily finish on it. With things like the microwave, windows, stuff like that, you want to use a spray lubricant. Something that is going to be clean, that isn't going to put, it'll put a residual, you know, even if you spray something with Pam, it's going to be a clean spray, not a dirty spray. So what you want to do is you want to look at whatever lubricant that you're using and spray it on your hand and see what it ends up being. If it's a clean spray, then try that on the microwave door, on the hinge.
Okay.
But be careful about certain oils and other things are going to be problematic. Sometimes I have, and I'll tell you, it's probably 100 years worth of it. I have a little tiny can of 3-in-1 oil.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay?
That was simple. Absolutely.
And all it is a light machine oil. It's a very, very light machine oil. And all you need to do is take a Q-tip and dip it in there and just touch the hinge a little bit with a little bit of a clean oil. And you know what?
Okay.
You probably could use olive oil. You probably could use vegetable oil. You could probably use something that it's just a lubricant.
Right. But that's why I asked.
Some people have that.
If this is the show, I'll ask during the show and I'll find out.
Try the KY jelly. I don't know. It's all the same.
It's good that he asked because Gene was going to use the blowtorch.
He was going to use the blowtorch and the WD-40.
Yeah. Actually, I was just going to hire somebody to heat my food. that was my next step.
I think that's a great idea. Hire a professional chef and throw the microwave away.
Right. Who needs that?
Yeah. You know?
What's the chef going to use?
Not a microwave.
Well, that's not my problem.
Oh, really?
Most chefs are not going to use it. You know, one of my big we went to, remember the restaurant where Minnie of Darien or Minnie of Nor, I don't even know what they're called anymore, I guess, where the Minnie dealership is on the Norwalk Darien border? You know where that is?
Oh, I know it. Oh, Cooks. Was it Cooks?
Well, before.
It was Cooks.
No, it was many different restaurants.
Not like Beefsteak Charlie.
Oh, was
Charlie's
Bercoli's or something?
No, it was the last configuration was the Cookhouse. Okay.
Okay, but there was,
and then when the Cookhouse went out of business, it became the Mini dealership. It stopped being a restaurant. But can you name four restaurants that were there before?
Probably Howard Johnson would be one, right?
No.
No.
No, it wasn't Howard Johnson.
It was something like Bertoldi's or something.
No, Bertucci's is near it.
Bertucci's
before it was Bertucci's. It was whatever that junction. It was that railroad cars.
Right.
But no, it before the Cookhouse, it was a Red Lobster.
I'm getting a feeling of deja vu, like we've gone through this already.
Yeah, we've done this before. Before that, it was Red Lobster. And when the Cookhouse bought the business, they found that there wasn't an oven in the back kitchen. There was just microwaves.
Huh?
And so Red Lobster was cooking everything in the microwaves.
Wow.
Yeah, but before Red Lobster, it was a Mexican restaurant.
I wasn't here for that, so I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was...
Pancho and Gringo?
No, what was that called? Somebody could call in and say that. And before that, it was the Red Coach Grill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was before cars, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, they had the dirt floor. I remember that. It was a wonderful place.
Yes. The Red Coach, because they only had coach, you know.
But, right.
Stagecoaches come through.
Yeah.
That was going way back in the day.
But there were a lot. There were a lot of, yeah, well, the Cookhouse was, I really liked the Cookhouse. because I was at that time I was eating meat and I like barbecue. I, you know, barbecue is the only thing that's going to bring me back to eating meat because I really like that. But I have been staying away from meat now for almost 3 years. Time goes by, much to the frustration of my wife. Mm. My wife is cooking meat almost every night for the dogs, and she can't cook it for me. So I'm on this fish and, you know, other things.
Fish and
diet.
Ice cream and cake.
That beautiful. Works for me. Yeah, pizza. Pizza.
Pizza. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
there.
I eat cheese and I eat eggs. That's fine.
Well, it's good protein, though, so yeah. Okay.
I got to eat the eggs because we're going to have chicken soon.
How's that coming along?
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea.
I don't.
The enclosure has now all arrived, and we've been putting it together. We were putting it together until it started raining last night.
I was supposed to be it next week, then.
But it's almost done. It's almost done. And now what I have to do is I have to fix... I have to put some screening on the bottom of the shed so that when the enclosure is up against the shed, that there's no way anything can get into it because we're worried about rodents and other things. And then I'm going to cut the door I bought, this automatic door that's a solar-powered door that is going to get... that's going to open and close based on what time of the day it is, so the chickens know when to come in to the coop.
What if it's cloudy?
Oh my God!
I'm telling you, this is the most complicated thing. But Sandy and I have it's been a test of a couple working together, and this is really frustrating to build. Okay, it's like IKEA. There's pictogram. Instructions.
Yeah. For all of it.
And it's not so much that it's difficult, but it all has to be done in a certain order, and they're not really clear. So when we started building it, I put the support pipes on the outside, and then I really looked carefully at the instructions, and they needed to go on the inside. The clips are tricky, and... if the ground's not flat, things don't always line up right. So we've had to do some adjusting because where we're building it is not exactly where it's going to go. And there's a door, and now we're thinking maybe we should rotate the whole thing around the other way for the door. It's complicated.
How many chickens?
Well, she ordered, I think, 10. Okay, but these are going to be chicks. So it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks before they're chickens. If they survive, they have to become acclimated to us and to the dogs and all. But most people have outdoor enclosures that are chicken wire. I guess that's why it's called chicken wire. And they're very rudimentary and crappy looking. This thing she bought was expensive, and it's rather nice looking. I could put the dogs in there. I could go buy tropical birds and put them in there.
Put the squirrels in there.
It's very I could trap the squirrels and throw them in there. Mm-hmm. But then I'd have to feed them, right?
Well, at least they'd be away from the fruit trees.
Yeah, for the summer. Yeah, the peaches are doing quite well. I've got I think about 4 or 5 apples on the apple tree, and I've got 2 pears on one of the pear trees. That's it. So they'll be gone.
Is that 4 pairs or 2 pairs?
Two individual pairs.
Two individual, okay.
Yeah. So they'll be gone in no time. As soon as they're ripe, the squirrels are going to eat those in 2 seconds.
They're just waiting.
You know what I was thinking is, you know these plastic cases that you can put around a light bulb so you don't bump into it? I was thinking maybe I should put that around the couple of pairs. But I don't know if that'll work. It's so frustrating. The whole thing is frustrating.
So... when are you getting the chicken? I mean, you have to have this thing done before you get the chicks over there.
Well, the chicks are going to be 6 to 8 weeks of being small and growing up in a little tub. So we've got the tub in the foyer of the house, and I guess she's going to do that there. And then when they get big enough to go in the coop, then we'll introduce them. I'm telling you, you got to watch these videos. I mean, there's a way to do everything.
So, they're going to be inside first?
They're going to be in the house first as little tiny peeps.
How long do chickens live?
Forever. They never die. Yeah. No, I don't know. I have no clue. But most people...
Roosters? You're gonna have,
no roosters. Yeah. No roosters. Roosters, you know, the fantasy is that roosters crow at the break of dawn, but that's not true. They crow all the time. Hmm. And... I am not interested in upsetting my neighbors.
Well, have them out there when they're lighting off the firecrackers.
Well, I am not interested. It is not my job in life to irritate my neighbors. I have better things to do. I have some neighbors. I have some neighbors that irritate me, but I am not being reciprocal with that. Okay? I'm trying to be a better person. And, so, no roosters, okay? I'm not interested in breeding chickens. I'm only interested in having some chickens and having them lay eggs, and we will personally cultivate those eggs. But Sandy has been composting because we know that there's going to be a lot of chicken poop that needs to be composted, and... So we're looking at all this stuff. I set up the rain barrel. The rain barrel is almost full of water now. I set up an automatic feeder for the chickens.
Oh my goodness.
I've really been trying to do it in the right way, and I'm rat proofing everything.
Are you gonna have guided tours during the tag sale?
Maybe for people to no, not during the tag sale. Absolutely not.
Okay. You have to get your chickens a Roku then. That's the next move. And that's when you say, I've had enough.
Inside, there is a camera that is watching the chickens so that when the coyotes come in and attack the enclosure, I'll have video of it.
Hmm. Okay, then you'll be able to identify.
But that's where I was going with how long the chickens last. I have a neighbor whose the chickens lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And whatever attacked it, got it.
They're like goldfish.
Yeah.
They ran out of toast, I guess, to go along with it.
I don't know. You know, the bottom line is you really have to have an enclosure that is substantial because there are predators out there that, just like us, that like to eat chicken.
How large is this enclosure?
It's 12 feet by 6 feet. And the coop is part of my shed. So they're going to go inside at night and sleep in the shed where they're locked up. But the enclosure is completely closed up, too. Mm-hmm.
Next, you'll be getting them a pool and then...
Well, they do need water and they do need feed. Yeah. So all of that stuff has to take place as well. This is having animals, you know. And I'm sure the next step is going to be sheep and goats, and I'll probably get a cow at some point, because God knows we're going to need the meat and the milk. And no, I don't think that's going to happen at all. I don't know how long this is going to last. I really don't. I mean, we're
now. How do you
go ahead?
Is lightning a factor here? I mean, is it grounded or something, or
the enclosure?
Yeah, whatever the coop is. I mean, you got wire and all that kind of stuff around it.
I haven't really given that much thought, but I haven't seen a video that they were concerned about lightning. But
just curious.
But you could be right. I may have to put a ground strap on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fried
chicken.
Steve will be
fried chicken.
He's starting up a new show. It's going to be called Around the Coop.
We'll certainly talk about it. Hmm. It's been really interesting, and we bought this... enclosure from a company called Omelette. Isn't that a good name? I thought that was great. It's an English company in Britain called Omelette, Omlet. And it's really quite nicely engineered. I haven't got it all completely together, but we're almost done with it. And it's tight. It's working, but I'm also putting regular wire ties around things to make sure that there's no way it's coming apart easily. it's going to be nice and it's attractive looking. I didn't want anything that looked like crap. And yeah. I didn't want it to look like I'm running a farm. So this thing is nice, but it was a couple of $1,000s. It wasn't inexpensive.
You didn't need a permit for this, right?
No. It's just wire.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very nicely engineered. And it'll be attached to the shed so that I can cut the door and they can go in and out. But it's like a doggy door that's mm-hmm. going to be set up there.
And it'll take less time to build than the house next door to you.
The house next door to me is, you know, I hear banging every once in a while, but by 3 o'clock, everyone's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Is there any progress being made?
I think a plumber's been there. I don't know if an electrician's been there, but there's still no siding on the house. And when it was raining the other day, cats and dogs, all the windows are open, or at least some of the windows are open. The doors are open. So all of that water is probably in their basement there.
Is that the first thing you do is close it up?
That's the first thing I would do when I was
I would think so. When I was
building, the first thing I would do is either get a tarp over the whole thing or I would get a roof on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a roof on it. I'm feeling my breakfast here. Mm-hmm. But Tyvek is not supposed to be exposed to the sun for a long period of time. It's been weeks that the Tyvek's been installed. Somebody finally showed up and put the windows in, but the windows are all open. I can't explain it. It's building maybe in the New York style,
mm-hmm.
because these guys are from New York.
Not how to build 101.
But I'm telling you, it's taken a long time to get it closed in. They still haven't put any waterproofing on the foundation. So yesterday's rain, I'm sure it came in. It's just raw plywood all the way around.
Well, it's just sitting there. It's been a few months already.
Months?
Once they got the framing done.
It's been over a year.
Certainly not a rush job.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's only two or three people working on the house.
So. One nail at a time.
Yeah. It's beyond me. I don't know. And my wife says, stop talking about the house next door. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll give a tip of the week. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
And now here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Sounded like Madison.
You were correct.
That was Madison.
You get a slide.
Madison's getting so old. She sat and watched the Hamilton with us last night. She's getting to be a big girl. She really is. And she's so talented. She makes light of it, but she draws so beautifully. And she's into this anime stuff and painting dogs and watercolors and stuff, and she's really so talented.
How old is she now?
She's 16, I think. But soon, got to start teaching her how to drive. Soon she's going to need a car.
Already?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 16. Yeah, she should be already doing it, right?
Yeah, she's going to be ready for all of that.
Wow.
And the problem with the pandemic is she can't go anywhere. I mean, she's in a room and on the internet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Doing TikTok and all those crazy things that teenagers do. Anyway.
I heard it's time for a tip of the week.
Time for a tip of the week. Now, those of you that have water heaters or have boilers, this is really for those of you that have water systems, water heating systems, and water heating for the heating of your house. On most of these pieces of equipment, there is what's called an expansion tank. Some people have old ones that just have air and water in them. Many people have newer ones that are usually gray or blue that have a bladder in it. And if you tap on the expansion tank and it sounds like it's solid, you may need to have it bled out or drained out or some air put in those tanks. They do become airbound or waterbound. And you might want to have your heating and air conditioning person take a look at it in order to make sure that it's working properly. The other thing that's a good, important thing to know about is the emergency switches that are on your heating system and your cooling system and your water heater in many instances, if it is a gas-fired unit or an oil-fired unit. There's often going to be just a regular on-off switch, just like your light switch, that's mounted on the piece of equipment or near the piece of equipment. And there's also going to be one that's usually at the top of the stairs that usually has a red plate on it that says gas furnace or oil burner or oil boiler, whatever it says on it. And it may say water heater. And it's important to note where it is and show it to your family so that they don't accidentally turn it off thinking it's the light switch. Because many times parents will come to visit for a short stay and they'll turn off that switch thinking they've now turned off the light switch at the top of the stairs. And now you suddenly realize you don't have any heat or you don't have any cooling or you don't have any hot water and you have to try and figure out what's going on. So try and find those switches and know where they are and know what position the on is, because that might be important. Many times those switches are in tandem. So if either one of those switches gets turned off, that unit's not going to work, which is a little different from the outside air conditioner, which very often has a circuit breaker or a toggle or a pull disconnect. Okay? Is that good enough? Go look at that. Find them. Explain it to your kids what they are so they don't make the mistake of turning it off.
So that you're not referring to your own parents turning off the switch?
Well, my parents are in Florida. It would be tough for them to turn it off. But the kill switches that are very often at the top of the stairs, many people will take the red cover off it that says oil burner or furnace switch, and they'll make it a white switch because they don't like the look of the red switch being there. Okay.
All right.
And I'm just telling you,
I know.
A lot of people will do that. Yeah. And then people start turning off switches because they think it's shutting off lights.
How long does a water heater last?
In the store?
No, in your home, for example.
Well, we give them a life expectancy of about 7 to 13 years.
Oh, okay.
And it really depends on what the fuel is. And also, there are ways of extending the life of a water heater, but most people don't do it. You could drain out a couple of gallons of water each year and get some of the sediment out. And you could also change the anode rod. Almost every water heater has an anode rod inside it. And the anode rod is what we call a sacrificial rod. The water attacks the rod rather than the tank. Okay? If you take that rod out, which requires shutting off the water and unscrewing something with a wrench and taking it out, and you need enough headroom to get it out. So most people are never going to do this.
Yeah.
You could change the anode rod and probably have the water heater last another 10 years.
Wow.
But most people are not going to do that because it involves plumbing and it involves water coming out and all the rest. But you could have a plumber do it. But I would say most people are not going to do it. So
how many people even know about that?
Well, there you go.
That's not a common thing, though.
How many people have cars that they never change the oil?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of hidden away, you know?
It's just understanding the technology that we use in a typical house. You know, a lot of people, when I tell them that a one-inch filter on the air handler needs to be changed every 4 to 6 weeks, they go, "You're kidding me! How can that be? My guy comes once a year and changes that filter." Yeah, but it's not enough. Those filters get filthy. And then all the air that's going through that filter, it's slowing it down and it's taking away from the efficiency. A 4 or 5 inch filter needs to be changed every 3 to 5 months, depending on how dirty it gets. But people don't do it. So we work against ourselves because we don't understand our equipment. Hopefully that's one of the reasons why people listen to this show, although we're few and far between with some of the things that we explain to people. But, you know, how many times have we told people they should look at the filter and see if it's dirty?
Yep.
Change them out. They're not that expensive. Even the most expensive ones should be changed probably every 6 months. But this is all the air that's going around your house. Don't you think filtering it is a good idea? And changing the filter is a good idea. So, you know, there are a lot of people that just don't want to know, don't want to maintain the house. They figure everything will be okay, right? The same person drives the car into the ground.
Yeah.
Why is it making that clicking noise? Well, you never change the oil, right?
If there is oil in there.
If there's oil in there. You know, one of the things with the four-wheel drive is that there is an additional transaxle fluid that really needs to be looked at every once in a while by a dealership or a gas station. Nobody does that. And then they wonder why the four-wheel drive doesn't work right or it clunks into position or whatever. There are a lot of things that require maintenance that we just don't do. Cleaning the gutters. If people don't do these things, things break. Right?
Maybe.
Absolutely. Well, there's always something more important that has to be done. You know, it's on the list, but it's not near the top of the list. And it should be closer to the top of the list.
Mm. And maybe if you tell people how much a new water heater would cost, they'll take those steps to extend the life of said water heater.
Well, one of the problems is that we don't all have headroom above the water heater. And so undoing something that requires taking out something that's 3.5-4 foot long is going to be a real problem in a basement. When you have the headroom, it kind of makes sense to do it. But I will admit, I've never done it on my own water heater. Okay? Except the fact that I'm going to have to buy another tank at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Naoki has sent in a comment on Facebook saying that his WD Specialist Dry Lubricant can says safe, low toxicity for ingestion.
Ooh.
Now, why would you want to ingest it?
Just in case.
Just in case.
Nothing else in the
but
house.
But that's dry lubricant. That's dry lubricant. And there are lots of lubricants,
lots of lubricants.
And, you know, I use Barber Bond as a lubricant for when I'm shaving. But I would almost bet that you could use Barber Bond for a lot of things because it's just a very slippery soap, okay? And when I'm using a hand saw, I have a bar of soap on my workbench that I will take the saw blade and run it through the bar of soap to make it more lubricated so that it cuts through the wood easier. There are lots of lubricants. And so I have my cans of oil, I have my spray, I have WD-40 too. I have nothing against WD-40. I just think that you need to know what the best usage is for a lot of this stuff.
Which is why I asked the question.
Thank you for asking.
It was a good question. Thanks for calling, Gene.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Okay. Take care. Good night.
Yeah. You got to make room for Nancy and the bishop to call, you know.
That's true. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late.
He's
dialing now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he called on me. Another break. All right. You're listening to Around the House on AM 1490 and FM 105.5 and WGCH.com anywhere. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com. Or 203-540-1533, 203-540-1533, Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service,
203-540-1533. And now, back to Steve Gladstone and Around the House.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, so Dean says he's working on the last report. I just have to hope the previous two are being worked on. Fabio and Mark, make sure. Put everybody to work during the 4th of July. See, I would have had a party if we weren't going through this nonsense. Is there a caller?
I believe so.
Phone call or something?
Hello, Tony.
Hello.
How are you doing, Bishop here?
All right, Bishop.
You felt the need to dial when I mentioned your name?
Yes, indeed. I said when Gene signed off, I said my name was used in vain. I have to give him a call.
Not in vain.
What this is all about.
No one used your name in vain. God, lightning will hit us.
Yeah. Listen, your chickens, do you know what brand you're getting? Are you getting
Tyson? We're getting Tyson. We're
getting Chicken of the Sea.
We're getting Purdue birds, yeah.
They're going to be Leghorns.
No, I don't know. Sandy ordered them. I don't know what they are.
Leghorns are white. The Red Rocks are red. I forgot what the gray ones are called.
There are a whole bunch of different ones. I mean, she was looking at that and ordering a mix, and I did not pay any attention. I'm just hoping they arrive alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to be when you get them, they're going to be little yellow chicks. You
yes,
know,
yes.
On the holidays,
and we won't know if a rooster sneaks through.
Hey, listen, you got to have a rooster.
No, you can't have a rooster.
Sure, you got to have a rooster.
Why?
Well, give more eggs.
My neighbors will complain.
No, they'll just wake them up at 6 o'clock.
They'll be crowing all day long.
You know,
I've been on inspections where all you hear is the rooster in the yard next door crowing.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Well, from what I understand, the stuff comes through the mail.
Yeah, they come in boxes.
And that scares the hell out of me, because I know what I've been mailing off to the lab now is taking more days than it's supposed to. And I sure hope that we don't open up a box with dead animals in it.
Oh, I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
By mail?
That's the way they're shipped. They're shipped by U.S. mail, believe it or not.
Wow.
And you got about 3 days, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully, what they suggest to people is that you notify the post office to call you when it comes in and go right to the post office and pick it up.
As soon as
an expiration date,
a little bit of water to drink.
Yeah. Because I don't even know how they're shipped, but you know, I've gotten plenty of groceries shipped in dry ice. It's not going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's probably little cubes.
Yeah.
In a square box.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have. How many are you getting? 20?
No, I think she's getting about a dozen, 10 or. I hope not 20.
Well, anyhow, they come by per a dozen in little cubes in the box. You know, just enough space so that they don't tread on each other.
Right. Right. Yeah,
that should be happening soon, I hope.
It's supposed to be next week sometime, I think. And,
oh, great.
And, you know, we almost have the enclosure done. I've got you'll be so impressed when you see this thing. I mean, this is like Trump Park compared to most of these coops that...
they're really going to live...
Oh, my goodness.
High
until the foxes get them, they're really going to live the good life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should.
You know,
I should be more optimistic.
The subject you were talking about monuments, you know.
Yeah.
And the destruction of our monuments. The Pope mentioning Mount Rushmore and so forth. Yeah, these people, I'm sure, do not know the history of our country.
Well, how are they ever going to know the history of our country if
they never studied in school?
But what I'm saying is, you know, I learn history all the time because when I see one of these historical markers in a town, I stop and read it. I look at the statues. I read the plaques. When I go to a museum, I can't get through the museum because I'm reading all the time.
Yeah, yeah. The highway, they have these signs.
Sure.
Where they are. I used to stop and take a photo of them because they were so interesting in history.
Right, right. And battles, you know, I used to teach at a school in Manassas, Virginia.
That little town
is just steeped with Civil War history.
Oh, yes. Manassas was a great, big battle.
Yeah. So I would go on the battlefields. I would look at, you know, I would read up on this stuff. It's fascinating.
Oh, yes.
And you know, now they want to get rid of U.S. Lee. I mean, he just happened to be a president, too.
Well, listen, you mean Grant?
Grant, rather.
U.S. Lee?
U.S. Lee. U.S. Grant.
Talking about Grant.
Knowing about history. there you go. I mixed two different guys together.
Here's something that people really don't know. During the war between the states, they called the Civil War. Okay, so all of the officers, the generals and so forth, they were all friends on both sides because they were all trained at West Point.
West Point.
West Point.
Right here. I was told West Point.
In Westport.
Westport.
Yeah.
All right.
They went to the beach there. They had to pay the beach stickers.
Yeah. And they were all friends. It wasn't the fact that these were enemies.
Well, many times it was families were split.
Even though it was a wrong cause, but that's the way the direction went at that time.
Yeah.
So having that, knowing that, to destroy history the way it developed. Also, I think personally, the destroyed some of their own black history. If someone ever mentions to a wonderful black person 25 years from a Robert E. Lee, they wouldn't know what that person was.
I think that the sins of the Civil War are done. Now, if we need to deal with the sins of our own generation, let's deal with it. Okay? If we need reparation, if we need to look at the programs that we've had being racist or some of the things that we do. But do you understand that what I'm being told now is that we really should change the name of the master bedroom from master because it denotes slavery?
Oh, come on.
I mean, really, that's how extreme we're getting. And we've got to be really careful with being extremist. Extremist in every way is troublesome.
It's anarchy.
Well, I don't know.
That's what they're getting to, anyhow, with all this destruction. $520 million worth of damage out there in Minnesota. I heard that on the radio yesterday.
Really?
$520 million, and that's atrocious.
Yeah. We got to think these things through, and believe me, I am very considerate after seeing so much anti-Semitism over the years, experiencing some myself, but seeing so much and so much of it going on. I'm very sensitive to everyone. I would not say anything that was anti anything without, it's amazing to me that we can't find ways to get along, that we treat people as subservient. It's wrong.
You know, well, I mean, talking about the racism and so forth, well, you remember all the races that came in, the Italians, the Germans, and also coming in. They were all ignored, you know? There were even signs in the window, Irish need not to apply.
Right.
You know? Right. I mean, this is part of our history.
We have been horrible, horrible to immigrants, horrible. But we still are a country made up of immigrants.
Exactly. And even the first founding fathers were immigrants.
Of course they were. England. They came from England. They came from France. They came from all over. And we continue to this day to have the worst immigration programs in the world. I mean, we're just terrible the way we treat people. And when they get here, we treat them poorly. We treat them like they're not the same as us. We're all the same.
Exactly. And the fact is that it was the immigrants that made the country because they worked hard and they produced
and they still do. I mean, the Latin Americans that come into this country that work all day long and then send half their money back to support their families. My goodness, I've seen people living in such terrible apartments and the third floor of, every once in a while we do an inspection where the third floor, you get up in the third floor and you know it was for the help. You know it was for the help. And it had to be hot as anything during the summer and cold as anything during the winter. We have been horrible to people.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And a lot of that has changed, but not enough of that has changed.
Well, anyhow, we pray Almighty God that it does change peacefully and with harmony and with love.
I lost my breath just then. Yeah.
Well, you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Okay, I'm signing off.
Signing off.
Okay.
And that was the
bishop. Have a good 4th, and God bless each and every.
And everybody stay safe. Stay
absolutely
safe. Stay away from those fireworks.
Right.
Look up.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Bishop.
But have buckets of water nearby.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let your house catch fire. You know, you look at some of these episodes lately of Ask This Old House, where they've been broadcasting from that town that got completely burned up. It's amazing. It's remarkable. Mm. They're rebuilding. You know, California wildfires.
Paradise?
Paradise, yeah. Yeah, terrible. Mm. I can't imagine. You know, I've been so careful with my house to put in fire extinguishers and to make sure that the alarm systems work and to redo anything that's old, perhaps unsafe or not particularly brilliant wiring. I'm so afraid that my 1890s house could burn down. And reducing things to LEDs, to get rid of things that overheat, to put newer appliances in. There were a lot of bad things in my house when I first moved in there. Hmm. And so many people have unsafe wiring that needs to be upgraded. But if you don't have fire extinguishers, go out and buy a couple fire extinguishers this summer. Put them near the fireplace. Put them near the stove. Where are they? Locate them. So many people have fire extinguishers, they don't even know where they are. They don't even know how old they are.
Or how to use them.
Or how to use them. It'll take you 2 minutes to learn how to use them. Talk to your kids about them. And talk to your kids about fires and the importance of not having a fire in the house. Really.
You know, it gets to the point where you say, well, I don't want to go buy. I don't want to have a fire. I don't want to go buy a fire extinguisher. But when you need it, you are going to be, you know, if you don't have it, boy, you will say, I should have spent whatever it was.
Gene, I have a fire extinguisher in each of my vehicles. Okay, because mm-hmm. sure as anything, I'm going to stop. If I see somebody who has a fire in their car, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to grab that extinguisher. And I've put out fires for people.
Have
sometimes
really? Yeah.
sometimes by really? The sometimes by the time the fire engine gets there, it's too late.
Wow.
You got to hope the person gets out of the car.
Yeah, true.
Okay? But I
and
put
they have ones that they have, like, these slim ones you can put in a car.
You can put it right under the seat. No. I mean, it's not a
absolutely.
Big deal. But everybody
absolutely.
Should have one, not in the trunk, but they should have it somewhere where,
right.
where you could grab it.
Yep.
Everybody should have one in their kitchen. Everyone should have one near their fireplace. Because things happen. If you've got one of those fire pits in your backyard, you should have one in the backyard. Put it on the porch, but know where it is so that you know where to run to if you need it.
Yeah, make sure you have, you know, I guess there's a general one you can use if it's a fire, if it's an electrical fire or a,
well,
you know,
most extinguishers now
yeah.
are dry chemical, and the dry chemical smothers the fire.
Right, okay.
If you've got an electric fire, the dry chemical will work fine on it. The carbon dioxide extinguishers provide a lot of cold, so it gets rid of the heat. Water extinguishers can work on paper and cloth and stuff like that. But the dry chemical ones work for a lot of different types of fires. So
those are good for, like, grease fires in the kitchen and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to be careful with fires in the kitchen. You don't want to throw water on the stove. Because
yeah,
if it's a grease fire, the grease is going to come back and hit you in the face, and then you're going to be burned. So sometimes just putting the cover over the pot is going to put the fire out. But
yeah.
baking soda or the dry chemical is what you want to shoot at the fire. And a lot of people are afraid it's going to be a big cleanup. Big deal.
Yeah, better
big
than
deal.
Losing your house.
Yeah, big deal. Why is there music playing? Is it really 2 hours?
This is the musical version of The Hook.
Of The Hook. Mm. It's taking us off the air.
Yes. Exit That's stage.
Get out of town.
All right, so get ready. Get in your cars and get ready for the tag sale for next week. We're not going to be in the studio. We're going to be at the end of Marion Street in Springdale trying to what unload time? A whole bunch of stuff from 8 to 10. Just like the show. But I'll be there later than that as well if you can't make it that early.